Some of you are wondering, what is this guy with the umbrella business going on? Hold on to this thought. It is a weapon to keep you awake in the message and so forth. No, seriously, we're going to tie the message together with this. So we're just going to hang it here and kind of as a reminder during the message. But let's have a word of prayer together as we continue to study a little bit about prayer. Father, it's good to be here. It's good to be in this place. Lifting high the name of Jesus, and we are thankful for this relationship that we have by grace through faith. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for the strength that you give us. Thank you for the rest that you give us. Thank you for the reprieve that you give us as well. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. We are grateful for it. We love you, Christ. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to continue our discussion on the aspect of prayer. Last week, we looked at the model prayer, and two of the takeaways pretty much from last week centered around the fact that prayer does affect circumstance, and at the same time, that prayer changes me. This week, we roll into the aspect of what is called the power of agreement in prayer. And what that literally means. For example, probably the best way to explain what the power of agreement in prayer is to tell you what it's not. The power of agreement in prayer, or agreeing prayer, is not some sort of magical prescription or magical formula to get something from God. That's not the power of agreement. That's not the power of agreeing prayer. It's not something in such a way that it's not about a wish list. It's not about some sort of way in which we manipulate God in order to get something. It's not this name it and claim it stuff that sometimes you hear about in places if you watch some TV, Christian TV in particular. But what agreeing prayer is, and the power of agreement, is that it is truly the practice of not praying alone. It is the practice of praying with another. In other words, that you're not alone in what you're walking through. It's kind of like an anti-solo prayer campaign. Whether you are close geographically or whether it's simply the nature of the proximity is the topic in which you're praying about. It is the practice of praying in partnership, agreed and purposeful. It's the practice of gathered prayer, of others coming together in concert. It is the practice of congregational prayer when a congregation comes together and prays specifically about a particular topic or concern. So it truly is the practice. The power of agreement is the practice of not praying alone. Perhaps the most famous passage about this power of agreement is found in Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20. And it's Jesus as he's teaching, and Jesus speaks these words. He says again, "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything," I'm sure he's talking about Baptist here, "anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Jesus says, I tell you, where two on earth agree, where two people get together, it can be two or more, but two people get together, and the idea is that these two people get together and they negotiate, they come together and make a joint decision together. That's the aspect of agreement. It's when two come together and agree, they make a joint decision, or they come together in agreement about anything, that's anything that they ask for. The idea of asking is to pleading. It's a fervent demanding almost. So the idea is when two people come together and make a joint decision, in other words, that there is an accord in the decision that they make, and they plead fervently before God, Jesus says it will be done or come into being or come to pass by my Father. For when two or three gather in my name, I am there with them. The idea is that he is right in the middle of the mix. So Jesus says that when two come to conclusion together and ask or plead before the Father for it, it will come to pass, it will come to be. Remember the promise that when two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, in his presence, he is there in their midst. So there is this power of agreement that exists, and Jesus teaches about it. But as you look at this concept of the power of agreement and the power of agreeing prayer, there are some principles that speak to us. This is kind of the characteristics of agreement. The first characteristic of agreement that is demonstrated in this passage is an assumption. The idea, first and foremost, is that we ask according to God's will. That we ask according to God's will. There's an assumption that when two come together, two believers come together, and they come to a conclusion, they agree to a topic, they agree to a position, and they take that position before the Lord, because these are two or three that are gathered together in Christ's name, that Christ is in the midst. The idea is that these people, these two that come together with a decision, a joint decision, are coming together and choosing God's will. So the idea is that in the power of agreement, in the power of agreeing prayer, that we ask according to God's will. Now there's another passage found over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, that demonstrates this whole aspect of his will and praying in his will. In 1 John 5:14 says this, that this is the confidence that we have when we approach God. Now, the beautiful thing is we have a confidence. We can have confidence in approaching God. You and I, each of us, can have a confidence when we approach God. But this confidence, this boldness that we possess, it's the same word for have, we possess a boldness in approaching God. We can have this. And the boldness comes about this, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask, if we plea, if we cry out according to his will, his plan, his purpose, his principles, his word, then God hears us. The word hear literally means to hear and to believe as true and to do something about it. So the promise here in God's word is we have a boldness when we approach God. We have a boldness. We possess a boldness in approaching. The possession of the boldness comes about that when we plea out and cry out to anything to him that is according to his will, that is according to his plan, his principles, his purpose, his direction, that not only does he accept it as true, but he acts upon it. So in these two verses, in Matthew 18, 19, and in 1 John 5, 14, we find the principle of agreement. We also find the principle of agreement that involves asking according to his will. So the idea is that we try to practice the power of agreement, that we try to practice asking, praying, pleading according to God's will. So the idea is that for us, we must discover God's principled will for our lives. What is God's principled will for your life? A good homework duty today. Don't you hate when you come to church, they ask, he always gives you homework, doesn't he? Go up and look this up in Scripture. Look up this phrase in Scripture. This is God's will for you. Just look up the phrase, this is God's will for you. And what you're going to discover out of God's will is that all men would repent. God's will is that all men will be saved. God's will is that we are obedient. God's will is that we mature. God's will is that we literally bear fruit. God's will is that we give. God's will is that we serve. When you start looking through all the paths, this is God's will for you. There are all kinds of things that are his principled will for our lives. God's will. The idea is that we discover God's principled will that has to do with the situation that we're dealing with, and we begin the process of praying His will. But here's the beautiful part. We begin the process of aligning our will with His. So the idea is that this is God's will. The idea, if I'm going to pray God's will, I must align my will with His. And so remember what we talked about last week with prayer. Prayer affects circumstance, but also prayer changes me. The idea of praying God's will in agreement with somebody else, His principled will, is that I must align my will with His. And in the process of praying His will, aligning my will, realizing this simple, simple, simple principle about prayer, that when God is working on one end, He's always working on the other. See, where God is working on one end, He is always working on the other. So the idea is that I ask according to His will. But another character of the power of agreement or agreement praying prayer is that I seek with unified persistence. I seek with unified persistence. I ask with unified persistence. Remember the illustration of Matthew 18 and 1 John 5. The idea is that two or more, or when people are together, there's this unified presence of two agreeing and seeking, unified desire for God's purpose and God's will in their life. They meet and negotiate and agree and ask with urgency, for there is power in more than one. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Two great illustrations about this asking with urgency. One is found in Acts 1:14, the other in Acts 12:25. In Acts 1:14, we read this in the early church, that they joined together. In other words, they joined together, they came together, they devoted with one mind together in constantly and persistently praying along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. The idea here is that there is this unified persistence of praying. They're coming together unified and praying. But in Acts chapter 12, verse 20, 12, verse 5, this is a story of Peter in prison. And we notice what happened. It was happening to Peter, and then what's happening in the church. For in verse 5 it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And I love this because Peter was kept in prison. The word for kept means to be retained. But the idea here, which is beautiful about this word, it's more than just being kept. It's more than just being retained. The idea is kept and retained as he is guarded and provided for and cared for. So the idea is that Peter is kept or retained in prison, but he is guarded and provided for, but the church was earnestly praying for him. So the idea here is that while Peter is kept in prison, God is providing for him and caring for him and guarding for him, while the church is earnestly praying for him. And you know the story, you know what happens? He gets out of jail, doesn't he? Isn't that cool? It's a great story. The gates open up, he walks out, the angel takes him. I mean, you just don't get any better than that. But yet, do you know what perhaps the most beautiful part of this story is? Is the fact that God guarded him and kept him and provided for him while he was in prison. Both are beautiful aspects of the process and of the answer to prayer, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So there's this unified persistence that takes place in prayer. So the idea is that we ask according to God's will and we seek with unified persistence, but we also remove the mask. See, the power of agreement comes when we're willing to drop our masks in life. We all wear them. We all have them. We have church masks. We have work masks. We have family masks. We have play masks. The idea is when we take the mask off and the real us is exposed and seen, sometimes we have to not worry about whether or not we'll be accepted or whether we'll be liked if the real mask gets seen. But see, in the power of agreement and the power of agreeing prayer means that I ask according to God's will and that there is a unified persistence that takes place, but it means that the people that are agreeing together take off their mask. A perfect example of this is Paul. And specifically in the challenges he was facing in Ephesus, and specifically in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, as Paul's writing this letter to the Christians at Ephesus, he says this, "Pray also for me. Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me that so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Do you know what Paul's suffering from? He's suffering from the case of fears. Oh, not Paul, you say. I can see, this guy is like the giant of apostles. He's the mouthpiece of the gospel. Yes, Paul. Do you remember they talked about his letters seemed like really tough, but yet when he was a person, he was kind of like a mouse? That's a paraphrase, but that's kind of what it means. But yet here, Paul says, "Pray that I fearlessly teach and preach." Do you realize Paul took off his mask? And he said, "Listen, I'm dealing with fear here, and I need you to pray for me that I'll be fearless and bold." How many of you struggle with fear? A lot of people do. Do you realize God's principle will says that you should not fear? Yeah, easy enough said, right, Brad? Be bold and courageous. Banish all fear and doubt, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Anytime fear creeps in, man, that's the enemy coming up against you. Be strong. Be bold. Be courageous. Paul says, "Man, I just need you to pray for me." And see, there's this letting down of the mask, this letting down of this image. So see, this thing called prayer, this thing called agreeing prayer, this thing called the power of agreement. We ask according to God's will, we seek with unified persistence, and we remove the mask. But the fourth thing is that we pray for, or we prepare for renewal. Anybody ever prayed before and God answered a prayer? Anyone have an answered prayer testimony? Is that all? Anybody? Maybe both hands? Yeah, God's answered some prayer. You know what's funny? Sometimes we forget God answers prayer. You ever prayed something, then forgot about it, and then God answers it, and then you forgot that you prayed about it until somebody else reminded you about it? Or better yet, what about when you remember that you prayed for something and God answered your prayer? God caused it to be. Do you remember how excited you were? I mean, how cool that was. You just were all excited, ready to just jump out of your skin because, wow, this stuff on prayer really works. Hence the title of the series, Prayer Works. Yeah, it does. You know, sometimes we start out praying and we doubt. But I learned a lesson a couple years ago back. A guy by the name of Charles came up after a service. We've been praying as a church, my former church. We've been praying for rain. Some of you are thinking, we need to start doing that now. I hope it's coming this week. And what was interesting is the church, we began to pray for rain. We prayed. Sometimes it was just part of the prayer of the service. Other times we had an invitation at the end of the service. Several times people just came up to the front and flooded the front and we just prayed. Did it on both campuses. Charles, one of our senior adults, came up after the second service and he had his umbrella with him. I'm thinking, dude, it's hot out. There's no rain in the forecast, and you got an umbrella. Charles said, "Pastor, you know, if we're going to pray for rain, we ought to prepare for rain." You know, people started bringing their umbrellas to church. You know what's so funny about that? There were days that rain came, and this is documented, that only came to Baytown. That's the town I was in. You could look on the radar and see all of Houston dry as can be, and yet right there in Beta, you see a little green cloud on the radar. You know, green means rain. Wow. You know, when you start praying in accord, when you start praying in agreement, where two or more come together and we begin the process of literally collaborating and come together, decision on God's will, and we begin to pray about God's will for this particular situation, and we begin to fervently pray and pray with persistence in a unified prayer, and we begin to take our mask off and begin to share the needs and the hurts and the issues that are in all of our lives together. There again, praying God's will, unified, persistently seeking it. Listen, we better prepare for renewal. We better prepare for answers. Because there's power in agreement. There's power in praying God's will for and according to God's will. There's power in persistence and unified persistence. But go ahead and get prepared for His answer. Because it's coming. See, where God's working on one end, He's always working on the other. Second set of homework today. When you leave this place, you're walking through the hallways, you're going outside, getting into your cars, trucks, I want you to just find one person and ask this question. Ask them, how can I pray for you? Or ask them, would you pray for me? How can I pray for you? Or would you pray for me? At the point of opening up the conversation, you're asking for the mask to be dropped. You're opening in an opportunity to pray in agreement with somebody according to God's will and pray with fervency. You're creating an opportunity for the power of agreement. So as you leave today, two questions. How can I pray for you? Now be ready when somebody asks you that. Or pray or ask, will you pray for me on this? And here you listen and then you pray for them. It is the power of agreement. As we prepare for God's moving. Let's pray. Father, without a doubt, we recognize your power and your strength today, Lord. We recognize the fact that prayer is an underutilized aspect of our walk. And the fact that we have the opportunity to join with others and to pray according to your will with a fervency and a passion and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because your word promises it, that you will cause it to come to pass, you will cause it to come to being, your will in our lives. And so, Lord, help us take off the mask today. Help us invite a conversation with someone else on this campus today as we ask one of those two questions. Father, thank you. Thank you for the power of prayer, for the opportunity of agreement. We love you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, an opportunity for you to respond. Our invitation is what is God doing in your life? Perhaps God has called you to identify with this church fellowship. You're saying, you know, I need to join in. I need to, like, become official and a part here. I mean, we invite you. You know Christ. You feel a sense God's leadership to be a part of this fellowship. We invite you to come today. We're going to be standing and singing, and I'll be here in the front. Just ask you to step out from where you'll be standing. Even if you're in the middle of the aisle, folks will move, let you out. You come, meet us here in the front. The most important thing you'll ever do is decide what you do with this one called Jesus. as God's Spirit works, as you sense God calling you, as you sense God's leadership in your life, to trust His Son, to accept His Son, to see forgiveness, to realize a future and a hope. If you sense God speaking to you today, saying, trust my Son, seek Jesus today. Just surrender your life. You come today. We're going to be standing. People are going to let you out. Regardless of where you're seated, just meet us here in the front. You come. As we sing together, you come. Meet us here in the front this morning. Only